Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. 34 after, thank you very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. And we're going to also welcome back our good friend Jim Copeland. Jim is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He is he's the director of the Center for Legal Policy at the Manhattan Institute. And he joins us on a regular basis about very important things. And something he's got on his mind today has to do with a spinoff, a byproduct, one of the components of the Dodd-Frank bill. Jim Copeland, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
It's always a pleasure. You know, Jim, when I think about if I had to put my finger on two people who were as much a part, if not an extreme part, of the 2008 financial meltdown, it would have to be Barney Frank and Christopher Dodd, Senator Dodd of Connecticut, former senator, and the soon-to-be former congressman from Massachusetts, Barney Frank. And so how many rival ironies are there that the bill to reform all of that was named after those two individuals? Can't you cut that with a knife?
It's pretty ironic. I mean, here you had two of the biggest proponents of, in particular, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the government sponsored enterprises, and in particular, the government's efforts at driving more and more people toward homeownership, whether they were creditworthy or not, which of course was an underlying but-for cause of the financial collapse. I wouldn't argue that it's the totality there, and
right.
My colleague Nicole Jelinek has written a book on this. I think that's quite good at looking at the total picture, but there's no question that sort of government action was led by the very individuals that then supposedly did that authored the reform that supposedly was going to be fixing the problem. And many of the bill's critics, including myself and many of my colleagues, would argue that the bill does nothing to fix the underlying problems that allowed the financial collapse to occur. By and large, it did, and it does substantially increase the federal government's role. Some ways may be defensible, but many of the expansions,
but,
if anything, perhaps exacerbate the potential for your.
But it also makes it harder for institutions that did not create the problem, mainly in independent community banks. It puts an extra level of oppression on them from a regulatory standpoint. But you call them proponents of Barney of Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. They weren't just proponents. They were irrational defenders of those two organizations. And but be that as it may,
many others. But absolutely, that's right.
And
they're on.
But I want to get to the spinoff. One of the byproducts of this bill is called the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau. Tell the audience what that does.
Well, the concept behind the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is rather defensible, at least in part. And let me explain what the principle here is. It's basically saying we're going to have a federal agency looking for individual types of consumer frauds. And the hook here for the financial collapse is, well, a lot of these people were signing on mortgages that they were sort of defrauded by, in the sense that they didn't know exactly what they were getting. They didn't necessarily know what an ARM was. They didn't know that they had a good interest rate today that was going to get a lot worse in a few years, and they might not be able to pay it back, et cetera. And the principle here is to limit certain types of lending to individuals. On the face of it, this is not an indefensible federal role, in my view, because to me, the federal government most of the stuff today is interstate. The state attorneys general aren't particularly well equipped to deal with this at the state level. And in fact, I've been a consistent critic of some of these state attorneys general running in here trying to do consumer protection, quote-unquote, and effectively making decisions for all the 49 other states by the way they're taking on certain industry practices. So to have the federal government have a role here in principle, I think makes sense. I don't think it has much of anything to do with the financial collapse that we went through in 2008, but I do think that there's at least a defensible role there, the same way the federal government takes a role with consumer fraud through the Federal Trade Commission, for instance.
Or the Securities Act of 1933 and 34. I mean, it's very similar,
so I think it's,
very similar type thing. But the thing is, folks, Jim, hold on. We've got to take a quick break, folks. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the leader of this Consumer Finance Protection Bureau. It doesn't have one yet. And it needs one. President Obama has nominated someone. And they didn't fly. Their nomination hasn't flown yet. It hasn't left the ground. And we're going to talk about why that is after these messages with Jim Copeland. He's with the Manhattan Institute. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm with you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.